You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit with you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We are not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only in the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Let us pray. Dear God, your Holy Spirit has invited us and led us here to worship today. We pray that something unexpected happen as that Spirit moves in our hearts. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You and I are eager to share things, aren't we? When we hear a good deal, we want to share it. We share with people where you can find the cheapest gas. Isn't it amazing that the way some of us look for cheap gas, you would think we were saving big bucks? And we fill up our tanks instead of less than a dollar. There was a story one time about a person that went to a full-service gas station and bought $1 worth of gas and then went across the street to the cheaper gas station but at least got their windshield cleaned. You go to a restaurant, you like the food, you share with somebody that you were out and had a good meal. If you find a good bargain in the store, or if you're like Diane, you find a coupon that's worth using, you share it. And one of the reasons we do that is because there's so much stuff out there that is trying to get our attention, and it seems like there's always trickery. You know, we get a letter in the mail that says that you're real special and we're going to give you this big offer and so on, and we're suspicious that there's a catch at the end. When there's all these infomercials, it's some kind of something there to get us to buy something that we don't want. And so we tend to share and listen to one another, their stories, because of helps us sift through all the stuff that's out there. Well, Paul went to Thessalonica to share the gospel. And those people there were skeptical. Just like people are skeptical today when we talk about the gospel. And so Paul shared his faith with them in a really important way. I'll look at that a little bit today. So sharing faith, you know, what is it? It's taking the faith that you and I have and sharing with one another. But oftentimes we're afraid of evangelism, that E word. What happens if we share our faith and that person doesn't want to hear it? What happens if they get mad at me? What words will I use? How will I say it? And we go on and on with a list that keeps us oftentimes from sharing our faith. But sharing faith is what we're called to do. That's something that we're supposed to do. But oftentimes it's difficult for us. There's so many things out there, and we need someone to point the way. Let's talk a little bit about what evangelism is not. First of all, we're not selling Jesus. We're not selling anything. You know, Jesus didn't come selling himself or selling the kingdom of God. He simply came into the world looking for the people that he already knew were there. And he came and gave sustenance to that deep hunger that they had within them. He put words to express getting a drink for those people that were so thirsty in their lives. He didn't sell anything. And so you and I aren't selling Jesus. We're not selling the kingdom of God. We are simply sharing our faith with people. We don't have to convert anybody. That's not our job. That's God's job. We don't have to create a spiritual hunger in people. That's God's job. Our job is to look and search and share our faith with the people that God already knows is out there. And that takes a tremendous burden off of us. We don't have to create a thirst for spiritual reality. God instills that. Cliff Christopher wrote a book entitled, Whose Offering Plate Is It Anyway? Now, admittedly, that's a book about stewardship. However, he has some gems in there that I think are pertinent for today and for our thinking. And he says this. One thing he notes is that no army, no government, no nonprofit has the power to change the hearts of people like the body of Jesus Christ. And as those hearts change, then so does the practice and so does the world. You and I are to share our faith. That's the important message. And that is that Jesus Christ came to show us God's good news. And we have to decide if that's important enough to share. Where does that rank on our list of things that we talk to people about? You know, where to buy cheap gas, where's a good restaurant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Where does sharing our faith in Jesus Christ fit on our list of important things? Let's be honest. If it isn't important for you to share your faith in Jesus Christ, then we don't have to worry about that E word. We don't have to worry about evangelism. We don't have to pay any attention to that great commission that says, go into all the corners of the world, teaching Jesus Christ and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have any need to share our faith so that other people's hearts might be changed, their practices changed, and so the world be changed. If that's not important to us. But Cliff Christopher says that it is. Now, he's writing in the context of all the competition out there for nonprofit dollars, churches, whatever. And he writes this. There's a lot of good being done by nonprofits that are asking for our financial support. And Christopher acknowledges that. Even though people may still find food and shelter and healing through these other nonprofits, they will not come to know the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's the message of the church. That's what we're trying to share. But how do we do that? Some of it is changing our perspective. It's difficult, challenging, but not impossible to share our faith in this age. Part of the challenge is trying to share our faith, which is a big picture idea, which is something for today and for tomorrow and next month and next year and for all eternity, in a generation that is really concerned with this moment and getting through this moment with little thought about the next moment. As they tell us about the average middle-aged person has about $20,000 saved toward retirement. Well, there was this guy that crashed his airplane into a desert. He survived. But he didn't have any food or water, and so he trudged in the hot, burning sun trying to find water. And pretty soon his stamina wore out, but he still kept crawling and so on and so forth. And he came across this man who was a necktie salesman. And the salesman said, "Can I sell you a necktie?" And the guy gasps, "I'm dying of thirst. I'm in the middle of the desert." and you want to sell me a necktie. Salesman shrugs, walks away. He continues laboriously trying to get it, and lo and behold, a miracle. There in front of him is this great, big, beautiful restaurant with neon lights and everything, and he crawls up to the front door, and he says to the guy at the door, "I'm dying of thirst, can I get in?" "Sorry, gentlemen are not allowed in without Thomas." Trying to share our faith in an age where people are living in the moment and not the big picture certainly is a challenge, but it's not impossible. The other challenge that we have is a little different perspective. And that is that sometimes, and this one's on us, that sometimes we think it's hopeless. Nobody wants to hear our story. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. Nothing's going to change. Well, there were two salesmen, shoe salesmen, that went to Africa to sell shoes. 3 days in the field, the one guy texts back to the home office that he's coming back. He says, "Nobody in this country wears shoes. I can't sell anything." The other salesman wasn't heard for a couple weeks, and then finally he sent back to the home office a big thick envelope with 50 orders and says, "Wow," he said, "I'll have more soon." He said, "Nobody wears shoes in this country, and there's plenty of people to buy shoes. It's a matter of our perspective. Are we coming at it from a perspective that nothing can change, that everything is lost, or are we coming at it from a perspective that the field is ripe with harvest, as Jesus said?" Earlier this month, Ann Perdue and I attended Presbytery. Jill Duffield, the editor of Presbyterian Outlook, was a speaker. Jill lives in Charlottesville, Virginia. You guys can fill in the stories because you've read them and heard them. But she did talk to us about her perspective about the faith leaders in that community and what they were experiencing leading up to the white supremacist rally and during and in the aftermath. She shared stories about how the faith leaders came together to love and support and care for one another in those turbulent times. She shared stories about how after the rally, the faith community put together community-wide worship services in which people came to worship to find some understanding of what had happened and what was happening. And certainly there were people there who were from churches and synagogues and so on, but there were also people there from the community that didn't have a clue that there was any value to spirituality. And Jill said, "Don't ever think you are irrelevant. In those times of crisis, the church is extremely relevant for people in supporting their faith. But for those people who didn't even think faith was important, who turned to the church to find some solace, to find some encouragement, to find some strengthening, to find something to help them make sense out of this, don't ever think you're irrelevant, because you aren't." And so Paul went and shared his faith with the people of Thessalonica. He did it very simply. He didn't use fancy words. He told his story like you and I are to tell our story. And don't be afraid that somebody might argue with you. It's your story. What are they going to say? It didn't happen. Wasn't like that. He didn't trick anybody. He didn't do it for any praise. And so you and I are encouraged to share our faith story, to go out and tell people about our faith, our story of what God has done in our hearts and lives, and hold open the possibility of what they can do, what God can do in their life. And do it for no reason other than the joy of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If somebody wants to listen to you and accepts God into their hearts and minds and changes their lives, great, celebrate that. If not, move on to the next person that God is leading you to share your faith. everybody here knows somebody who doesn't belong to a church or has drifted away from a church or perhaps never darkened the door of a church. Invite them to come to First Presbyterian to hear your story, to hear our story. Invite them to worship. Invite them to the men's breakfast. Invite them to a Bible study. Invite them to Heartcry. Invite them to anything you can invite them to so that they can hear your story, our story, and hear that God loves them and the people of this congregation will love them in a way that is palpable so that you open the door. That what God has done in your life and has made all the difference in the world can do it in their life. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for what you mean to us, the changing life that you've given us, the life that is abundant. And help us to be as willing to share the good news of the gospel as we are where to find cheap gas. Open the hearts of people that as we share our story, that their hearts might open, and then they will have a story to share too. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just God, you are good. Lord, we just want to take a moment, God. Just enjoy your presence. God, everything that you've done, you've arranged my steps, God. You provided for me when I didn't know I needed it, God. You allowed me to make the mistakes to where I was able to learn, God, and to gain wisdom. You put those in my life to where I didn't have to learn the hard way, God. God, you are good, and I want to worship you with everything I have. In Jesus' name, if you guys want to stand as we sing our next worship song, Great Are You, Lord.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Oh, we sing, Great Are You, Lord.
Lift your voices and you give life. Hey.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Oh, great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. So we pour out our praise. We pour we'll sing.
This morning, come on.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, and these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, and these bones will sing.
Street.
We sing great. Oh.